Sermon title is today is The Way of Love, and if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, and it's a scripture that we have turned to many, many times, and I'm sure we will turn to it many more times, but we're going to start there today. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, it says, Teacher, Matthew 22, verse 36, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus tells us what we must do. Love God, love others. And it sounds very simple, doesn't it? Verse 40, it says, he tells us that the Ten Commandments hang on these two principles, that we love God first and that we love others second. So our responsibility is to do what? Our responsibility is to the body of Christ and for those that we come in contact with is to love them. Now turn with me to John 13. We're just going to build a few scriptures around this. So John chapter 13, another scripture you are very familiar with. In John 13, verse 34, it says, A new commandment I give to you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And listen to this in verse 35. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We are to love one another as Christ has loved us. Verse 35, people will know that you're the real deal. They will know you're the real deal in that your love is genuine, and because of that, they will see that you are my disciple because you have love, one for the body of Christ, for one another. Now turn with me to 1 John. 1 John, we go all the way back towards the end of the New Testament. 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, he says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to what? Love one another. Verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because what? Because he first loved us. So what is our job? Is to love one another. So as Christians, what's our number one job? Is to love. What's our number two job? Is to love. What's our number three job? Is to love. We say, you gets it? And you say, I gots it. You get it. Our job is to love one another. We could go on with so many more scriptures today. Now turn with me to one more in John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be loved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned. Because why? Because they condemn themselves already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what isn't our job? Our job isn't to condemn, and our job isn't to judge. Now turn with me to John chapter 8. This is an amazing story. You're really close to there. Just go to John 8. John 8 and verse 1. And this is about the woman that's taken in adultery. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and he taught them. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?" They said this, testing him, that he might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to him, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those that heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And he said, "No one, Lord." She said, "No one, Lord." And he said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." It's easy to see that we are not to stand in judgment, and we are not to condemn. Neither one, condemnation or judgment, is our job. Our job is what? Our job is number 1, 2, and 3, is to love. But pastor, we need to protect our church. We need to stand up for the Word of God. And yes, that is very, very true. We need to do just exactly that. And how do we do that? We do that through the Word of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to keep building on this sermon, and we're going to come back to chapter 8 of John. Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, you go to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Man, there is nothing that is hid from God. God sees it all. God knows it all. He knows what you've been doing. He knows what you're going to do. He knows the intent of your heart. He knows the desires of your heart. In verse 13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Through the word, your life is open before him. There is nothing hidden, nothing kept back. It is all revealed. Through the word, your thoughts, your intents, your choices, what you are doing, what you will do, are all known by God. Listen, church, God is big enough to defend himself through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is powerful enough to do God's will. Hebrews 4 tells us the Word is so powerful, it's like a two-edged sword, that through the Word all is revealed. Now let me ask you, who is the living Word of God, and his name is Jesus? Think about that as we go back to the woman that is taken in adultery. So let's go back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 3. In John chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery, and they set her in the midst, and they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act.'" The religious leaders didn't want to love. They wanted to hate. They wanted to condemn. They wanted to point out wrongs. They wanted to use the law and the word of God as a sledgehammer on somebody's life. In verse 6, when you read verse 6, that they said, testing him, that they might have something in which to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. It has been said that Jesus when he stooped down to write in the dust or whatever that he was writing in the sand, he was writing down the sins of the sins that they had committed in their own lives. Now that's a saying that's been used, because it becomes really interesting that all of a sudden they all disappear. He acts like he doesn't even hear them. They're wanting to trip him up. They're wanting to say whatever that he wanted to say, because either way that he was going to be wrong. He didn't say anything. He just stooped down, and let's say that he was writing the sins of everything they had committed in their life. You recognize how some people will become so critical of something else, at a sin in somebody else's life, and not recognize the sin in their own life? Oh, I've seen it over and over. You know, I've heard preachers talk about adultery and how terrible it is and how wrong it is, and preach and preach and preach and preach on it, and come to find out they were caught up in adultery. Because what they were focusing on, to beat somebody else over the head with it but not recognize the need that is in their own life. The scripture says, why consider the splinter in somebody else's eye when you've got a beam in your own eye? The scripture goes on here today. Verse 7, but they didn't stop. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, who is without sin among you? Let him throw a stone at her first. But they didn't stop. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. He said the very first time he stooped down, he wrote down in the ground the sins that they had all committed as those elders. And the second time when he stooped down, he started putting their names to each one. And all of a sudden, they just started leaving that place. They disappeared. Remember in verse 4, the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, revealing the heart and the intents. These Pharisees just ran into the living Word of God. He knew their hearts. And he knew their intents. That's what I want at Crossroads. I want us to be people that love, us to people that love, that care for other people, and let them run in to the living Word of God. That's what we should all want. Our job is, when they come into the church, or one another, or brothers and sisters in Christ, is to love them, allow the Holy Spirit through the Word of God to bring change in their life. Because you know as well as I do, you have never changed anybody in your life, because my wife's been trying to do it for 60 years, and it's not working. You don't change people, but the Holy Spirit can. The night that I was saved, I don't remember one word that preacher said that night. But I remember running into the Word of God. He revealed to me. I ran into the Word of God, and the Word of God brought change in my life. Because the Lord saw in my life and revealed to me through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's change that needed to be taking place in my life that needed to happen. And I recognize that. I remember a lady that came into our church one time, and she'd never been in a full gospel church. She'd never been in a Pentecostal church. And she walked in the back doors of the church, and from the minute she walked in the door, she started crying, and she cried until she left the church. And she never came back. What happened? She ran into the Word of God. She ran into the living Jesus. And the living Jesus was there to change, and the living Jesus was there to help her to bring that change about in her life. But she walked away from it. She didn't recognize what it was. She didn't know what it was. It scared her. Sometimes people will be scared of the Holy Spirit, because all of a sudden they feel the Holy Spirit and they feel the goosebumps. Some people feel goosebumps and they feel something go up and down their back, and they think, what is that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's touching you. Ministering to the need that is in your body, in your life. She ran into the living Word of God. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. because this is a really interesting verse. Verse 34 of Matthew 10, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against a father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me, he is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Church family, we must never allow the church to be the sword. You see what I'm getting at today? That you and I, it's not our job to stand in judgment or condemnation. Our job is to love. They stand before the Lord. Let the word of God bring change to their life. If there is a separation between us and others, let it be because of the word and not because of us. You know, we can be very critical. Has the church not been accused of being critical? Has the church not been accused of being condemnation? Has the church not been accused of not being loving? Well, sometimes we can be very legalistic in our view that you must do this and this and this, and if you're not doing this and this and this, then you're not doing what you need to be doing. Instead of us telling people that, let's wrap our arms around people, love people, let the Holy Spirit tell them, because the Holy Spirit told you. The Holy Spirit brought change in your life. It wasn't because somebody told you. We need to be honest with the Word and preach the Word, but then allow the Holy Spirit to bring the change. Because sometimes we can become so focused on what somebody else is doing, we forget what we ourselves are doing. You remember that commercial, "Stay in your lane, dude"? Well, the church needs to stay in its lane, and our lane is one of love. The Lord Jesus came to save, to heal, to set free, to deliver. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing. We need it every day of our life. Think about it. I need forgiveness every day of my life. I can tell you, and you've heard me say it over and over and over, what is Pastor Leo? He is just a sinner that has been saved by grace. And because I am a sinner that has been saved by grace, I need the grace of God in my life. I need forgiveness in my life. So many times we feel that forgiveness is only when we accept Jesus, and every time we have an impure thought, every time that we have a temptation, every time that we say a negative word, every time that we reach out to somebody and we're not being loving, but we're being unkind to them, we need God's forgiveness for that. When you become perfect, we're going to go to heaven. But you're not perfect yet, and that's why we're still all here. But if we do what the Lord wants us to do, number one, number two, and number three is love. Allow the Holy Spirit to change people's lives. The Holy Spirit changed my life. It wasn't because somebody told me. I sat under good preachers. I sat under the good hearing of the Word. But they allowed the Word to bring change into my life. They will know that we are disciples. How? Because we love one another. Will you stand with me today? We were talking about that in CE today. That when you witness to them or you testify to them, you're already echoing what the Holy Spirit has told them. Amen. He told the Apostle Paul, it's hard to kick against the pricks or the goads. It was hard for him to kick against the conviction. The Apostle Paul automatically says, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew the Holy Spirit had been speaking to his heart. In each and every one of our lives, when we reach out to people, sometimes to tell them they're doing wrong, they already know they're doing wrong. They need somebody to tell them that they love them. We love you. I made mistakes too. I've made some terrible mistakes. But God still loved me. And he saw fit to bring change in my life. He wants to bring change in other people's lives as well. Father, be with this congregation. Open the windows of heaven. Wrap your sheltering arms around their life and pour out your blessings upon them. And we all give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.